gospel,
Word of God, that we can stand upon, because John 3:16 is built upon Genesis 1:1. Lord, help us as we discover all the good things in the Word of God from our man of God, Dr. John Wickham. Lord, empower him as he speaks to us. Empower our ears as we hear. And Lord, help us to just revel in our faith that's founded in the Word of God and the truth of Holy Scripture. Lord, just bless our time tonight as we study the origin of all of the Creator and all of His creation. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. We have downstairs going on for children, second grade and down. Second grade and down. If you want your children to stay up, they're very welcome too. But we have sessions downstairs for children, second grade and down, and our nursery facilities, and we appreciate that very, very much. Afterwards, there is a book table back here. Be sure to look at that. And also, we're going to be having an offering at the very end, a love offering for our brother here. And it's just a blessed, blessed privilege to have Dr. Wickham to come and speak to us. Amen. Amen. Brother, speak to us.
And thank you, Pastor Fisher, very, very much for your gracious invitation to come to this wonderful place where God is honored, worshiped, and served. I'm sorry that my dear wife Norma could not be with me this weekend. She is about worn out, traveling all over the country, constantly keeping up with me. I'm home about 10 Sundays a year in Indianapolis, and we have a son there who watches over us, he and his family, and we have five other children and 17 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we are just worn out trying to keep track of all of them. Praise the Lord for His mercies. On the book table tonight, you'll see a whole display of books on how the world began. Five of them. The Genesis Flood, its sequel, The World That Perished. Then the Early Earth, which will be our focus tonight, God willing. And then our created moon, which we'll look at tonight as well. And I hope it's a clear night tonight for you to go out and look at the moon and discover who made it. And then the Bible and astronomy. All five books, special price. And we hope that'll be of interest to you, your family, and your friends, because we live in a day and age when creation truth is widely misunderstood, neglected, or vigorously opposed. Times have changed, as we're all aware of, and we need God's special help, don't we? Day by day, to stand for the things He's revealed. And then, friends, we have Norma's famous book for children called Those Mysterious Dinosaurs. It's so well done, beautifully illustrated. It's in 11 languages now around the world. So, 8-year-old boys want to know everything about dinosaurs, and they'll tell you more than you want to know. So I warn you, 8-year-old boys should not come Sunday morning or Sunday night when we talk about them. It'll be terrifying. So how many of you men were once 8-year-old boys? Thank you. What a joy to open the Bible and say, Lord, thank you for what you've told us. Help us to understand what you meant by what you said in the only book you have ever written. All right, we'll begin tonight, friends. The Creator of the World. All right. I'm so sad to talk about this by way of introduction. Look at the disaster of our public school system nationwide today. 45 million children are being undermined in whatever faith they ever did have from their homes and churches as to who, why, when, and how the world was created. Notice, the teacher begins. This is Time Magazine, by the way, friends, not a Christian magazine at all. Okay? Let's begin with today's discussion question, says the teacher. Is it really necessary to save public education. What do you think? Next. Here's the problem. It's a disaster, friends. 3.5 hours the typical adolescent spends alone today. Doing what? Watching what? Listening to what? The parents aren't even there. And thus, 8,000 murders a child has seen in all media by the end of elementary school. You know what that means? Just think. Subconsciously, the child begins to think, if anyone gets in my way, I can get rid of that person. Okay? Next. 11 fewer hours children spend with their parents each week compared with the 1960s. Next. And thus, I hate to read this, 300% increase in teen what? Suicide. What's that? It means murdering yourself since the 60s. Over 700% increase in the number of minutes evening news spent covering homicide. If suicide means killing yourself, what's homicide mean? Killing somebody else, deliberately, intentionally. Okay? And 1,000% increase in depression among children since the 50s. Next. The world is in desperate condition. Next. So, how do you build a bomb in the public school system? Just instill in the child these basic ideas. This is being done day after day. Every textbook, every public school is the same. No mention of God, Christ, sin, salvation, creation, the Bible, anywhere, ever. In what? The textbooks. Now, thank the Lord, there are Christian teachers in some public schools.
Amen.
There are some Christian children in public schools. But I'm talking about the official position of the schools in the textbooks. Okay? Now watch. There are no absolutes. Life is an accident. People are evolved what? Animals. Ever heard of the animal rights movement? We're all just animals. Millions of years of violence, killing, death, disease, pain, suffering brought humans into existence. That's the theory of evolution. And I was a totally godless evolutionist myself, friends, raised in a godless home and studied at a godless university, Princeton University in New Jersey. I never heard one mention of God or creation ever in my science classes. Okay? And I have a personal testimony back there on the bench next to the table of how I came to know the Savior at Princeton. Amazing story. In 1943. Well, there's no God. The Bible is what? Not true. So just remove the Bible, prayer, Ten Commandments from the school, stand back and wait. And the child, you know, says, here's this, thou shalt not murder. Why not? If anyone gets in my way, look out. Next. Oh, what do we need today? God's word on how the world began. Now, there's something about this amazing statement in Hebrews 11:3 that many Christians are uncomfortable with. Do you see it? Watch. How do we understand how the worlds were framed? By what? Faith. You say, sir, I don't like that idea. Wonder if an unbelieving scientist confronts me and says, why do you people believe creation, Genesis? And you say, through faith. That's equivalent in the modern mind to saying, I don't have any reason, I don't have any scientific background or basis whatsoever, it's just faith. But wait a minute. Do you know what God means by faith in the Bible? It means taking God at His word because of who He is, and He never lies, He never deceives anybody ever, and He says to those who bear His image and likeness, that's every human being on this planet, you must believe in Me. I mean, we have a choice. Believe in the God who created us, who loved us enough to die for us, confirmed by His resurrection from the dead, or we're doomed forever. That's what this means. It doesn't mean just believe anything that comes along, that anybody says. It means believing what God says. Okay, now watch what happens. Through faith, we understand. We're not just guessing anymore. At the end of this conference, dear friends, my prayer is that we'll understand something perhaps that we didn't really fathom before quite as well. We're not debating. We're not arguing. We will, by the way, God willing, tomorrow morning and Sunday night, have a question and answer period. God is pleased when we ask questions. But you don't say to God, "I don't believe you." That's blasphemy. Okay? Now watch. So the things which are seen, the sun, moon, stars, earth, atmosphere, oceans, plants, animals, people, were not made of things which do appear. They came from the invisible resources of an infinite God. Next. Friends, that's really a quote, see, from Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And it goes on to say, for he spoke and it was done, he commanded it stood fast. An infinite God speaks, a vast universe appears. That's infinite power and wisdom. All right? Now, next. Did you know, friends, that God is very, very serious about his position in our mind and heart as our creator? Now, there's some things here that are somewhat frightening. Let's read it. Are you ready? God said to his prophet Jeremiah, "But the Lord is the true God. He's the living God and an everlasting king." Now, just stop there. That means that every other so-called God that ever existed is, are you ready? Look, false, dead, and temporary. You don't have a vast spectrum of choices. It's either a true God or totally false gods. See? Keep reading. At his wrath. Uh-oh, I don't like that word. God is angry with us for some reason, folks. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Wrath, indignation. You say, what do you mean? What's God upset about? What's he angry about? Now, these words you see in red letters right here are the only words in the whole book of Jeremiah written in Aramaic, the language of Gentiles. God said to Jeremiah, any Gentile now, Jeremiah, who comes to Jerusalem, you grab him. If he's a diplomat, a merchant, a visitor, a tourist, you grab him and you tell him this. You ready? Thus ye shall say to them. See, to whom? The nations, the goyim, the Gentiles. See, here's what you tell them. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they, those gods, shall what? Perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Really? Of course. Thousands of gods, millions of gods, but there are 100 million gods being worshipped in India alone today. They have all perished. They're non-existent. They never did exist, except in the imagination of fallen man. Okay? And thus, he hath made the earth, that's our God, has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his... Look at that. Power, wisdom, discretion. Did you know what? It took an infinite mind with infinite power to design and create the universe. Guess what you and I live in? A universe, not a multiverse. There's only one system that exists in the known universe of the laws of physics and chemistry, mathematics, everything beautifully designed, friends, and it's one mind that did it all. God says, you must know, honor, and worship me alone. You say, well, that sounds so exclusive. Well, wait till you hear what the Creator says about this himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and then what? No man comes to the Father but through me. Absolutely exclusive and absolutely sufficient and adequate to get us all the way to God's heaven. Okay? Do you see what the qualification is? Now careful here. To be qualified to be a god, to be worshipped by men, you must have just done one thing for sure.
What?
Created the universe. That eliminates all the competition. There's only one person that qualifies. Next picture. There he is. In the beginning was what? The Word. You say, who's that? The Logos, the communicator, the mind of God the Father to the minds of men. And his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. Because in verse 14 of that chapter it says, the Word became human, flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. But wait a minute, we've got a problem here with verse 1. Have you seen it? Now look. The Word was with God. You say, wait a minute. The Word was with God. You mean he wasn't God? Maybe he came later. Maybe he was created. No. Keep reading more. And the Word was what? He was God. You say, now wait a minute. How could he be with God and be God? Jesus explained it. Very important. He said, my Father is greater than I am. Here in the triunity of the Godhead above the whole universe, there are three persons. Watch the administration program. You ready? The management system. The Father is number one. The Son is number two. And who's number three? The Holy Spirit. Now, folks, you've got to be very great to be greater than the Holy Spirit. Those are distinct persons. But each of them is equally divine. Because Jesus said, I and the Father are what? One. Thank you, Lord, but please help me out. We'll never fully fathom that truth, the triunity of the eternal Godhead. But Jesus is number two in the system of three forever. Okay? Now, keep reading. The same, that's the Word, was in the beginning with God, with his Father. Okay? Whenever in the New Testament you have Jesus and God, God is always the Father. Okay? Now, here we go. All things are made by him. That's this one, the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Guess what that includes? Everything. Every galaxy, every star, every planet, every moon, every kind of plant, every kind of animal, the human race, name them all, he made them. Thank you, Lord. I think I got a message. Thank you. Next. Now, if Jesus was here when the world began, don't you think he has some qualification for telling us what it was like when it began? Let me tell you about every scientist in the world, including my professors at Princeton University. They weren't here when the world began. They didn't see how the world began. They know nothing about how the world began. Nothing. Unless they listen to whom? To God. Okay? Now, are you ready? Here we go, folks. Jesus said, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. When did human beings exist? Adam and Eve, to be specific. At the beginning of creation, not millions and billions of years after the earth was created, folks. Not billions of years after a so-called Big Bang. No, no. When the universe began, two people were there. Wow. Look at this, though. Jesus said, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not, talk about the coming great tribulation, which was not from the beginning of the creation which God created till this time, neither shall be. Now you see, now wait a minute. You mean there was affliction at the beginning of the world? That can't refer to animals. That's people. And when Adam and Eve rejected God, they entered into enormous afflictions. They lost their relationship to God and they were under the curse. They were terrified. They were ashamed. They fled from God. Unbelievable. That was when? At the beginning of creation. Keep reading. Jesus said, the blood of all prophets which was shed from the beginning of the world may be required of this generation. Now, whose blood was shed at the beginning of the world? a young man whose older brother murdered him. Who's that? Cain murdered Abel. And that, friends, didn't happen millions of years after the world began, but at the beginning. Next. Oh, the Apostle Paul agrees with Jesus. Are you surprised? Look at this. The invisible things of Him, that's God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, who saw the invisible things of God from the beginning? Adam and Eve. That's what we read, you know, in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day into day utters speech, night into night shows knowledge. They were overwhelmed when they were first created by the magnificence of God's created world and universe. Okay? At the beginning, they were there. That's not animals now. That's people. Okay? And you know what John said? He said the devil sins from the beginning. Now, wait a minute. Satan hadn't fallen at the end of Genesis chapter 1, because you know how the final verse reads? Are you ready? God saw everything that He had created, and behold, it was still what? Very good. Satan didn't fall till after Adam and Eve were created, but he fell at the beginning, which shows that things happen rapidly at the beginning of the world. The creation, the fall, the curse, all these things didn't take millions of years at all. Spectacular new studies have shown scientifically, as if we needed any help on that. If God said it, that settles it. Especially a little booklet I have back there on the table called 7 Reasons Why We Must Not Believe in Millions of Years. Very significant new scientific studies on radiometric dating, carbon-14, on and on and on. Okay? The geologic strata, fossil record, so on. Okay? We haven't been here for millions of years. Great. Next. Oh, here are the words that many people don't like. How many have ever heard of the 10 Commandments? Thank you. There's something threatening about those words, written by the finger of God to be what? Enshrined in the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Tabernacle and temple. But here's the 4th commandment. Watch this one. God said to Israel, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all of them that is in them, and rested the 7th day. You see, now wait a minute. You can't be serious. That God expects us to believe the whole universe was created in 6 days? Those are very hard words to fathom. And God says, dear child, let's talk. You ready for this one now? Next picture. Oh, the creation time block. Genesis 1. Oh, how many have ever heard of that one? 5. Thank you. The time block, friends. Oh, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, oh yes, 7. And you know what God said about those days? He said, every one of those days is exactly, precisely 24 hours, no more, no less. You say, how do you know, sir? How are you sure about that? Okay? Now, every Jew knows this. They can read the Hebrew, see? In the beginning, Bereshit bara created Hashemayim v'haaretz. The heavens and the earth, Elohim. Now they know what these words are. You ready? Here we go. Every one of these days has a numerical adjective with it. Did you see that? 1, 2, 3. It sounds like this. And there was day 1. And there was a 2nd day. And there was a 3rd day. 4th, 5th, 6th. Now, every time in the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of times, when you have the word day and a number with it, it means 24 hours. Just like in English. Ask a friend, how was your vacation last summer? Oh, well, thank you for asking. We had a wonderful 11 days with our family in Wisconsin. We don't say, well, how long were the days? What do you mean, how long were the days? I said, 11 days. That's 11 units of 24 hours each. Thank you. But watch what happens when you take the number away. Look what happens. America is experiencing days of great stress. How long are those? I'm afraid they're long. I wish they were short, but nobody knows. It makes an enormous difference if you take the numerical adjective off. See? Now, but that's just a warm-up. Look what else God did. You see this? Evening and morning formula. Every day has an evening-morning formula. And there was evening and there was morning, day one. Evening and morning, second day. Evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. What's that mean? That means one cycle of the earth rotating on its axis in reference to a fixed astronomic light such as the sun, and that, for your friends, doesn't change on Thursdays or when you feel like it. We're locked into something here, astronomically. Wow. God must be very serious about the chronology of creation events. Okay? Do you know what he did? Do you remember? Look. He said to Israel, 6 days you're to labor and rest one. And no Israelite would ever have thought, oh, well, God's days are surely long indefinite periods of time. So that must mean we're to work 6 long indefinite periods of time and rest one. Impossible. In my knowledge, could be wrong, there isn't one rabbi in one synagogue on this planet who would ever say to his congregation, oh, next Sabbath, let's have a 25-hour Sabbath. Or a 50-hour one. Impossible. There's a corporate subconscious memory on the part of all Jews in the world. 6 days of work, one of rest. Thank you. But look at this. You say, well, sir, you don't know 2 Peter 3:8 then, do you, sir? It says one day is 1,000 years. Oh, really? Look at it. It doesn't say that. It says, are you ready? Here's why it's important to carefully look up the verse yourself. See what God really meant by what he said. He said, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Which means that God can do in one day what would take us 1,000 years to do. And God, in 1,000 years, doesn't get one day older. It means he's infinitely greater than we are. And that contrast is wrecked when you take one day and 1,000 years. Non-literally. Okay? That's a deliberate, what? Intentional contrast between God and us. Okay? Oh, but look at this one. Genesis 1:14. Do you know why God created the sun, moon, and stars and planets? Listen to this. 3 reasons. Let them be for signs. Oh, thank you, God, for these visible evidences of your glory. We need signs, you know, to be reminded of who God is. That this is part of our problem in America. How many hours last year did you spend at night looking up at the sky, the stars? We don't have time for that anymore, see? We miss the message, the signs. But the second reason is, let them be for seasons, days, and years. Oh, wait a minute. If days aren't days in Genesis, then what are years supposed to be? You know what a year is? It's the exact amount of time to a split second that it takes this planet to orbit the sun 600 million plus miles once to the split second. If anybody ever asks you again, friend, how old are you? Say, I've been around the sun 57 times. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, but there's a third reason we created the sun, moon, and stars. And let them be luminaries to shine upon the earth by day and by night. By the way, there's no fourth reason, namely so that there'd be places for extraterrestrial beings to live. No, there isn't anybody else out there. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 45, he created the earth to be inhabited, not to be empty, but to be inhabited. And that's why it is, and that's why all the other ones are empty. Only this planet has the image and likeness of God, namely human beings, and that's why the Creator came here, not to Mars or Jupiter, 2,000 years ago to join permanently the human race. Wow. Okay? Now, friends, let's take a closer look here. The order of events. Look at the order here. Earth first, then what? God created the atmosphere with a vapor canopy above and oceans below. Then he did what? Created fruit trees and all plants on the dry land continents, which he lifted from beneath the ocean. Fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars. Fifth day, all marine creatures and flying creatures. Sixth day, all land animals and humans. Now, wait a minute. You say, sir, I've got a problem here. Why did he wait 3 days after he created the earth to create the sun, the moon, and the stars? That's a problem. Do you expect any intelligent astronomer to believe the earth came first? Okay. Now listen to what God says about that. Next. Job said, long before Abraham lived, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Now watch this. This is scary. If I beheld the sun when it shined, and my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth kissed, blessed my hand, kissed my hand. That's the worship of the sun. Is that okay? Is it all right to worship the sun? Watch. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God who is above. God says you must never worship the sun or the moon or the planets or anything else that you've ever seen. Ever. That's idolatry and blasphemy. So God deliberately did what? Postponed the creation of the sun to the middle of the first creation week to show that it was not essential, it's not ultimate or divine. Only God is. God is saying to Israel through Moses, now people, you worship me alone, because by being in Egypt for hundreds of years, the Egyptians were sun worshippers, and the Israelites became sun worshippers also, and they were poisoned with sun worship blasphemy for 1,000 years. Not till Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple and took them to Babylon did they learn not to worship the sun, moon, and stars. Okay? You remember what Jeremiah and Ezekiel say when Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy? You know what they did? They went on their housetops to worship the sun, moon, and stars. Oh, please rescue us. God said, that's it. Off to Babylon for 70 years. You say, well, at least we don't worship the sun. Oh, really? You want to hear some bad news about our public schools? Every textbook in every public school in America, not one exception, begins the story of life like this. Now, you knew this. You read the textbooks your kids have, don't you? Now, listen. Billions of years ago, lifeless chemicals activated by solar radiation, the sunshine, coalesced into highly complex self-reproducing organisms that diversified into all the forms of life, including people. And as long as the sun shines on this planet, life continues to evolve. And someday, finally, when the sun dies out, life here will end. You know what you just had? A sun worship service. Anything that causes your origin, maintains your existence, and determines your destiny is your God. Your God. You say, well, sir, you apparently don't appreciate how important the sun is. Oh, listen, it is very important. But it won't listen to you. It won't talk to you. You can't pray to it. It won't listen and love you. But I want to tell you something. If the sun mysteriously disappeared from the sky, in 8 minutes, that's all, 8 minutes, this earth would be plunged into permanent, total darkness. Temperatures would sink hundreds of degrees below zero. We'd no longer orbit, but go in a straight line, lost in space forever, and that would end this Bible conference. You say, well, then let's talk to the sun. Oh, we need you. Please help us. Don't go away. It won't help. God says, I created the world. I maintain the world. I will ultimately judge the world. You worship me alone. Okay? So Genesis begins the way Revelation ends. You know how Revelation ends? No more sun, moon, and stars needed. Just God. to provide light and life for his people forever. You see, friends, Genesis 1 just vibrates with what theological significance is telling you who God is. That's right. And I say, thank you, Lord. I think I see the picture. Next. Well, here we are, folks. What in the world are those? Planets. Well, then what's this over here? The sun. Look at that. 1 million times bigger than planet Earth. See? And oh, look at these giant planets way out here. Jupiter, 1,000 times bigger than Earth. Look at these planets. Oh, friends, scientists are absolutely frustrated trying to explain how the planets got there. You know what they used to think? This is funny. They used to think that there was a big bang, and just, I mean, out of nothing came something that then exploded. And then over here in this part of the universe, a huge gas dust blob was spinning around, the center of which was the sun, and the outer part sort of condensed into planets, and here we are. Oh, really? Look what we found. Did you know the sun is rotating so slowly on its axis while the planets are going around at enormous speeds? I mean, we're going 62,000 miles an hour. Did you know that? You say, no, I can't feel it. Right, because the air goes with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And the planets, friends, go out 2 billion miles out. And the bigger ones are the farthest ones out. That means 98% of the angular momentum of the solar system is in the planets, not the sun. Astronomers are shocked. But that's just the beginning. If you're an evolutionist, look at this one. This planet. Ever heard of Venus? Look, folks, it's spinning backwards. Now, wait a minute. Backwards? While the other planets go forward? But wait till you see this one. Uranus is not spinning backwards like Venus or forward like the other seven. It's spinning this way. How could that be if they all condensed from a gas dust blob? Impossible. But that's just the beginning. Look at this one. Some of these planets have planets of their own called what? Moon. Look at them. Look at them. Mercury has no moon. Neither does Venus, but we have a big one right there. And Mars has 2 little ones. And Jupiter has 15 big ones. Saturn, 14 big ones. Uranus, 5. Neptune, 2. Pluto, 1. But look at the moons. Of the 15 moons of Jupiter, 11 go this way and 4 go this way. You say, wait a minute. This is unfair to evolutionists. If you hear a cry at night, it's an evolutionist trying to figure out how to make everything evolve. I recommend something. Surrender unconditionally now and join the nearest good Bible teaching church. Thank you. I was one. I've been through that. Don't fight God. Don't try it. Oh, but look. Saturn. 14 moons. 13 go this way, 1 goes backwards, and there are trillions of little moons forming rings that are so fragile they could not have been there very long, or they would have fallen apart. Look at those rings. See? Uranus. 5 moons, and they don't go this way or that way, they go this way around the mother planet compared to its what, plane of orbit. Neptune. 2 moons, 1 forward, 1 backwards. The one going backwards is bigger than the planet Mercury. And you know what the moons are saying to you and me? Listen to them. They're talking to us. Earthlings, come up, look at us. Only God could have designed us to do what we're doing and to be what we are. Thank you. That's Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the what? The glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. They are giving a message, see, to earthlings about the handiwork of God. And folks, all the planets are different from each other. Their temperature, their atmospheres, their magnetic forces, their spin, everything is unique. And the Bible says it 3 times, Isaiah 40, Psalm 147, 1 Corinthians 15, that every star has a name in the universe. That means they're all special, unique, different, just like you are from every other human. God delights in what? Variety within kinds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I say, Father, I'm just specially interested in this planet right here. Okay? Next picture. Oh, look, there we are. Do you see us? Oh, wait a minute, look. Elkhart, Indiana. You say, I can't even see myself. Nothing we've seen even from the moon, folks. We don't amount to too much. But you know what happened about 40 years ago now? Oh, I just can't ever get over this. Some people on this planet decided to go to here, to the moon. Anybody ever remember the Apollo missions? Think of it. 12 men walked on the moon in 6 different missions. It was a very dangerous project. It cost $20 billion when dollars amounted to something. Why did they go? You ever think about this? I mean, 3 of them lost their lives before they even took off. 3 more almost never got back. Apollo 13. It was scary. Why did they risk their lives to get to the moon? You say, to feel what it was like to bounce around on 1/6 Earth gravity. Wrong. To collect 800 pounds of rocks to put in Earth's museums. Wrong. To see what the Earth looked like out there. Wrong. You know why they went? To find the secret of the origin of the moon, so they could find the secret of the origin of the world. Correct. If you don't know where you came from, you can't know who you are. You know what they've discovered? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You say, now you can't be serious. Our government wouldn't sponsor something that expensive to prove nothing. Oh, yes, they did discover a few things, like how to make a robot, how to make a moon buggy and a spacesuit or something. But friends, you know what they subconsciously, if not deliberately, rejected? The essential words of Jesus Christ the Lord on how the sun and moon and stars began. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in him dwells all the secrets of wisdom and knowledge. He was neglected. Now, I talked to one of them when he got back from the moon, Jim Irwin. He's now with the Lord. He said, when I came back from that moon trip, I decided to go everywhere in the world and tell them how great God is. Dr. Donald DeYoung and I, DeYoung is a great Christian astronomer. We co-authored a book that's on the table called Our Created Moon. And friends, we sent a copy of the original edition to every astronaut who had been on the moon. And one of them wrote back and said, gentlemen, thank you. Since I came back to this earth, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And his name is Charles Duke. But friends, can you imagine looking up and seeing, as it were, your footprint on the moon? See? You say, well, Dr. Whitcomb, what do you mean they didn't discover anything? Okay, next picture. Question, how did the moon get there? Next picture. Well, here's one theory they thought would work. The mother-daughter theory. Here's Mother Earth spinning at a fantastic speed, and all of a sudden, a whole piece of herself comes out, goes out 250,000 miles, stops, and becomes the moon. You say you can't be serious. Well, that's ridiculous. The Earth could never have spun that fast. How could it lose its angular momentum? Secondly, how could it throw a piece of itself into space and survive Roche's? In other words, if you're that close to a bigger body in the solar system or the universe, you'll be torn to pieces. And then how could you go out 250,000 miles and stop and go sidewise into a circular orbit without 2 or 3 stage booster rockets? And guess what Apollo mission also found out? The chemistry of rocks on the moon is so different than the chemistry of rocks here. It could never have come from here. Thank you. It's dead. Next picture. Oh, but there's another theory. This is romantic. The husband-wife theory. Okay, now here we go, folks. The Earth is going around the sun all by itself. But wait a minute. A beautiful moon suddenly appears. And the Earth reaches out with its feeble gravitational force field and captures that beautiful satellite that's been circling the sun with us ever since. Lovely. Only 17 problems. Where did the moon come from? Well, don't ask. How could it float by slowly enough for the Earth to capture it without being sucked into the sun? Impossible. How could they have been prevented from smashing each other to pieces with the Earth doing what? Serving as the center of a circular orbiting satellite. Impossible, impossible, impossible. Okay, next picture. But don't give up, there's another possibility. Brother-sister theory. Now, we spent $20 billion to find out why these are wrong. Say, what's wrong with the brother-sister theory? Well, here's Brother Earth, and here's Sister Moon, and we condensed from the same cosmic womb of gas and dust spit out by the Big Bang. Wait a minute. Gas and dust never condenses in space. It spreads out, dissipates. You mean a miraculous thing happened? It just sort of snowballed into a beautiful planet Earth and snowballed, already into a moon going around this thing. Now, wait a minute. Impossible. And I say, thank you, Lord. I see the point. And remember, the moon is so different chemically. You remember that one? From the Earth. It could never have come from the same source. Then where are we? Nowhere. Every year, astronomers meet together to listen to and laugh at the latest theory of where the moon came from. Can't do that. But oh, God's ways are so simple and clear. Next. God says, dear child, sit down. Let's talk. It was as simple as this. You ready? This doesn't cost anything. And God made two great lights. The greater light to do what? Rule the day. The lesser light to do what? Rule the night. And listen to this footnote. And he made the stars also. Trillions of stars. Here's how it sounded. You ready? Let's try that one again. Let's practice this one. By the way, it didn't take that long. God didn't even have to say anything. He just thought, I want a moon. Have you ever met anybody that powerful? Why not go out some night, maybe tonight, and look up and say, Lord, I just thank you for that moon. But I'm sick of just having one. I want another one now. What's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. Why not? Because there's an infinite difference between Jesus Christ the Lord and you or me. He's God. We're creatures. He's infinite. We're finite. He's omniscient. We're ignorant. Friends, you can't get more different. And you know what we need? We need to acknowledge, reverence, praise, and thank the Lord for who He is and what He said about Himself and His creation of the world in the only book He's ever written. Let's pray. Father, now, there's more that can be said. We could talk all night, all day, and just get started on the wonders of Your creative wisdom and power. But Lord, we'll never, ever, throughout eternity, get over the fact that our Creator, just 2,000 years ago, added a human nature to His divine nature in incarnation in the body of a Jewish woman who gave birth to the God-man who came to die the death that we deserved and rose again that third day in triumph, as Christians around the world have recently celebrated.
alive forevermore. Every other god that men have imagined, concocted, is dead. But Jesus is alive. Help us to spread the word, to mastermind what we have been told about him in this precious book, the Bible. And may this weekend, Father, in your mercy, be an eye-opening discovery time of how truly great you are, your Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, and the only book you've ever written, the Bible. I thank you for a church that stands for the truth. We thank you in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen.
Thank you, Brother Wickham. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's have a thought here. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're praising God you've heard this. Amen? You're praising God for the Bible stands like a rock undaunted, standing on the promise. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need to believe. Is that right? He's the Savior. And if you don't have him, you're lost. And you can find him tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, what was said tonight made sense. And I need to trust Jesus instead of trusting science, instead of trusting man. I need to trust Jesus. He's my only hope of forgiveness of sin and being declared righteous and getting into heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I'm not a Christian, and tonight I need to become a Christian. I need to believe. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I need to get saved. I need to become a Christian. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you. I'd be happy to pray with you. Anyone here, please? Have some children raising their hands. What about some teens, some adults? Got a good crowd here tonight. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I need Jesus. Folks, don't leave without Jesus tonight. Talk to someone beside you. There's tracts around called Peace, Purpose, and Joy. Get one. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing Brother Whitcomb to come and challenge our minds, stir our hearts, and fill up our faith. And Lord, we thank you, because one day you're coming again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and turn to our hymnals before offering here to 151, Jesus is Coming Again. Let's sing the first and the third marvelous message we bring. Then we'll have an offering, love offering for our brother there. Let's lift it. Lift the words of the song. Marvelous message. Marvelous. The kids can come up and look at the egg here and keep watching it and see it tomorrow morning and see it Sunday morning and watch it crack open. If it does not crack open by Sunday night in the service, I will crack it open. Okay. But it's supposed to do it, okay? Okay. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Savior, our Creator, our controller. And you gave us the truth. And Lord, help us to confidently stand on it, live by it, share it, die with it. Because you're coming again, and with all the things going on in the world, your coming draweth near. And Lord, this old world needs the truth about the Creator and the Savior of the world. Lord, help us to go away with confidence. Bring us back in the morning. And Lord, help us to think of somebody we can bring with us, because there's people out there that need the truth amidst all the lies of all the evolution that's going on. They need the truth, because if they'll believe Genesis 1:1,
then they can believe John 3:16. Lord, bless us and make us a blessing. Thank you for tonight. And all God's people said, greet one another. If you have children, make sure you go get them. And look at the book table, please. Thank you. Thank you.